Good morning, good morning, good morning, and welcome to another episode of my podcast, Ripples of Healing. Yes, I am excited, as I always am, to give this episode, to speak to the people. I'm excited that you guys are tuning in and listening, because I believe that this podcast is going to reach the masses for the honor and the glory of God. I believe that this healing is not just for me, it's for everyone who is in the sound of my voice, because I believe that God is going to do something supernatural for us in this healing process. Like I said, this Ripples of Healing is a healing journey from past hurts, hangups, and habits, and it is to restore us so we can be made whole, so we can be used for the honor and glory of God. How many of us have had a mess, made a mess of our lives, and God has taken that mess and made it a message? How many of us have made a mess of our life and God has taken that mess and made it into a testimony to encourage someone just like us who may be lost, who may be confused, who may be broken, that we serve a God who is a God of restoration. We serve a God who is a God of healing. We serve a God who is a God of reconciliation and redemption. Yes, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We serve that kind of God. He is mighty in power. He is El Shaddai, the Almighty God. And with him, he brings his blessings. With him, he brings his healing. With him, more than anything, he brings his love to us. The greatest sacrifice that our God has made is that he laid down his life for us, so we can be reconciled back to his family, so we can be adopted, because we are chosen. It says in Psalm 139, David says that God formed us. He knit us together in our mother's womb. He formed us. So he knew us and he knows us. And because he knew and he knows us, because he created us for such a time as this in our lives. So of all the things that we've gone through in our past, is in our past. Let God give us a brighter future. Let God give us a future full of his love and his blessing and his promises that are yay and amen. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Well, we're going to start this episode, as we start each and every one of them, with a prayer. So, Father God, in the name of Jesus, as I come humbly and boldly to that throne of grace, Lord God, I thank you, Lord God, for your tender loving kindness. I thank you, Lord God, for your mercy. Lord God, I thank you for your grace that sustains my life. Lord God, I thank you for all that you have done and all that you will do. I thank you, Lord God, that you are the same today as you were yesterday and forevermore. I thank you, Lord God, that you never change, Lord God. I thank you that your love is steadfast to us, Lord God. Thank you that you're faithful, God, to us even when we're not faithful. I thank you, Lord God, that you are the great and mighty I am. I thank you, Father, for being Abba, for being a father to the fatherless, Lord God. It says in Psalm 27:10, when our mother and father forsake us, there you will be there to lift us up. So God, take us up. Father, we thank you for your promises. We thank you for your love, Lord God. Let your words, Lord God, be a lamp to our feet and a light in our heart, Lord God. In this dark world, while everyone may be looking for hope or looking for answers, Lord God, let your light so shine in us, the light of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, be the light that shines in this dark world. Be the hope. Because of salvation, be the hope of this world, Lord God. Let it be, Father, that we touch and agree and go out and go forth, Lord God. For it says in your word, Lord God, that you call us first. And then you equip us, Lord God, and then you send us. So I thank you, Lord God, for calling us. for equipping us with your word through the Bible, Lord God, and then sending us out in this world to give people hope, to tell them about the love of a great Father, of a good Father, and tell them about the salvation and the light of Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit that dwells inside of us, Lord God. I thank you, Father. I thank you for all that you're going to do. I thank you for each and every soul that will be saved by the salvation that will go forth through this podcast, Lord God. For everyone who hears my voice, Lord God, I pray over them, Lord God. 2022 will be different. 2022 will be a year of blessings. 2022 will be a year of miracles. Lord, draw us closer to you, Lord God. Father, you said that you hear the broken heart and you draw near to them. Father, you said that you bind up our wounds, Lord God. So I'm asking you, Lord God, in 2022 to bind up our wounds, Lord God, to draw us closer to you, God, that we may receive the healing that you have for us, Lord God, in 2022. Lord, I'm expecting miracles. Father, we serve a big God. Let's go into 2022 with big expectations of all that you can do and all that you will do, Lord God, in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. We bless you, we glorify you, Lord God, for there is no one like you in all the earth and all the heavens, Lord God. There is no one like you. And Father, I thank you for your everlasting love. In Romans 8, 37 and 39, it tells us, Paul says that there is nothing that can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. So Lord God, we thank you for your promise and thank you for your love. It is in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen, 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 and amen. Yes, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, ladies and gentlemen, the name of the title of this podcast is called The Buck Stops Here. And I pose a question to you. How many of us are still living in generational failures? How many of us are still living in generational brokenness? How many of us are still living in generational sin? These things that we've inherited from our mothers and our fathers and our grandfathers and our grandmothers and our great-grandmothers and our great-grandfathers and our great-great-grandmothers and our great-great-grandfathers and aunts and uncles. How many of us are still living with these generational failures? I know I was for a long time. I was, for whom the sun sets free is free indeed. So Jesus has set me free from these generational failures. He has set me free from generational bondage. He has set me free from generational sin. And I thank him because this is the healing process and the healing journey that we are on together. So I thank him for that. So the buck stops with me. The buck stops here. So I don't know if any of you have ever seen the movie The Ten Commandments with Charlton Heston. It was one of my favorite movies when I was a small child, just around Easter time. For those who don't know it, I'll kind of tell you some of the story. I more likely will give you some of the highlights of the story. All right. So I'm going to start from the story where it really picks up, where Moses is a young man. He's a strapping young man who is the head, one of the commanders in Pharaoh's army. And he's winning battles and he's victorious and he wins the heart of Pharaoh and he wins the heart of the Egyptians, because this is where it takes place at, in Egypt. And Moses is considered one of Pharaoh's sons because he's in Egypt and his mother, who is Pharaoh's sister, presents him as her son. And so Pharaoh takes a great love and a great liking to Moses and he wins his heart over. And then one day, God comes in with a divine disruption. Yes, a divine disruption to his life. and he finds out that he's not an Egyptian like he thought. But in fact, he's a Hebrew. And his world gets turned upside down. And because he's been lied to, he doesn't know who to trust. So he leaves the palace, and he goes back to find the people where he rightfully belongs to, his mother's family, his father's family. Now, because of God's favor, he acquires a right standing with God while he is in the land of his ancestors. And he takes a wife, and his wife and him live on their father-in-law and on his father-in-law's land. And there he becomes a shepherd. So God comes and he speaks to Moses during this time, because Moses is who God chooses to free the people out of bondage. Divine disruption in his life is given by God to Moses. And how wonderful this divine disruption could be, that Moses, not really understanding it, but being obedient to God, he gets to be the person that God picks to free his people. And we're going to speed it up because there's a lot going on. But God sends Moses a couple of times with a message from him, from God, to Pharaoh to let his people go. And I don't know how many of you will have ever heard this old Negro spiritual called "Let My People Go." You ever heard that? "Tell old Pharaoh, let my people go." That's my great James Earl Jones voice. So I'm hoping you liked it. Now, Moses was a shepherd by trade, and he traded all his armor and his swords that he once had for a wooden staff. Could you imagine what that had been for him? He had the finest sword. He had the finest armor, you know, made of great materials. His feet had the finest sandals on them, you know, made of great material. Moses was in the palace enjoying the best food and the best wine, and then his whole world gets blown apart by a divine disruption by God. And now he has to navigate through what it is that this means for him. And how great is our God that he finds favor with Moses. And because he finds favor with Moses, he sends Moses back to the place which he started from. Now, Moses became a shepherd when he gets down to his people from on the land of his father-in-law, Jethro. And so Moses traded in his shield, his buckler, his sword, his sandals, his great armory, his helmet, all for a wooden staff to 10 sheep. Yes. Moses, who was once one of the great victors of Pharaoh's army. Moses, who even trained most of the soldiers in Pharaoh's army. Moses, who once sat right next to the king, is now a stranger. Somebody who they would not have in their presence, because Moses is a shepherd, and shepherds were considered the lowest of the people. because of class of people, because of what they did. They went out and they were amongst their animals all day long, so they stunk. So could you imagine Moses being sent by God back to Pharaoh, dressed in his Hebrew robe, his Hebrew sandals, and his wooden staff, and smelling like his animals? I could imagine, you know, him coming into the temple and everybody saying, oh my goodness, who is that? Is that Moses? Are you kidding me? Smelling like that, looking like that, like what happened? Oh yeah, I can imagine. He was like, Pharaoh was done, you know, for the many times that he came and asked for his people to be released. I could imagine over and over again, he smelt horrendous. And Pharaoh was like, look, enough, okay? Enough with this God-awful smell every time he comes here. Just let these people go. Get them out of here. I'm sick and tired of him threatening me. I'm sick and tired of him begging me. And I'm sick and tired of that God-awful smell. He became so exhausted that he just like, let them go. Get them out of here. I'm tired of the plagues. I'm tired of this. Just let them go. You know, I'm sick of this. And he thought that, you know, it got kind of bleak. And finally, he lets them go. And he thinks in his mind, thank goodness that they're gone. Thank goodness they're out of here. I don't have to endure him coming back in here. I don't have to hear the people pleading and begging and crying. I'm just over it. But then, I could imagine, he thought to himself, hey, once I let these people go, who's going to be serving us? Like who is going to be cooking and who's going to be washing our robes and our linen and who's going to be walking our dogs and stuff and who's going to be answering my emails and who's going to be liking my Facebook page and who's going to be following me on Instagram and, you know, and more importantly, who's going to be holding the camera when I do my little TikTok videos? I mean, come on. We need to get those people back, okay? We need to go get these people back, or we need to stop them from leaving, all right? And then the greatest part of the movie happens, where Pharaoh is chasing Moses with his army and his horses, and he's chasing down the Hebrews, and they come to an impasse, which is the Great Red Sea. And then God does something miraculous through his servant Moses. And he tells Moses to take that staff, that wooden staff that he used to guide and guard the sheep, and stretch it towards the sea in front of it. And then all of a sudden, God opens up the Red Sea. And the people leap for joy. And as they watch this happen, they're singing and they're rejoicing because God delivered them as he has promised. And how many of us know that our God is a way maker, a miracle worker, and a promise keeper? So as a child watching this part of the movie, I was happy and surprised. You know, but as an adult, I have come to know and love my God because that is who he is, and so much more in my life. I love the fact that God is a deliverer, and he delivered me out of the pit of my life, out of the addiction of drugs, out of the addiction of alcohol. He delivered me out of the brokenness that I inherited from my mother and my father. He delivered me from the anger that I developed from, that I had been given, inherited from my grandfather, who was a very angry alcoholic. He delivered me from the inheritance of not what trust issues, with not being feeling like I belong, with not feeling like I was loved. These are all the things that I inherited as a child because I was born to two broken people who gave me this as my inheritance and nothing else. So for many years of my life, I went around doing exactly what I had inherited, and I sold my body for it, and I lost my mind for it, and I tried to commit suicide because of it, because I was confused, because the enemy had me the way he had my parents, and the way he had my grandparents, and the way he had my grandmother, and the way he had my aunt and my uncle. The enemy had us all in generational bondage. But man, we serve a God who is mightier than anything that the enemy can throw at us, because Jesus said that he didn't come to condemn this world, but to give life, because Jesus overcame this world. So he did it so we could overcome the things in our life and be victorious in the battles of our life and be victorious in the struggles in our life, because we look to the author and the finisher of our life, which is God Almighty. God Almighty, the author and the finisher of our lives. Nothing happens by chance. God takes us through things in our life, not because it's a cruelty, but because we have our own will. So what we inherit from our parents, we have the will to be on the yes side or the no side, whether it be wrong side or the right side. And more than likely, we choose what it is that we see, because children are like sponges, and the things that you do around them, believe they see it and they soak it up. But if you show into your children, if you sow into their lives righteousness, if you sow into their lives and you give them the generational inheritance of Jesus Christ, the light of the world, the hope of this world, no matter what you give them in a life insurance policy, no matter how many cars you pass on, no matter how much jewelry you pass on as an heirloom from your grandmother or your great-grandmother or your great-grandfather, no matter what that is, all of those things can be taken away. All of those things will eventually go away. But Jesus Christ is the gift that keeps on giving. God gave us his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, that whomever shall believe in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Let us give our children the inheritance of light. So in the times of trouble, instead of them going off into the deep end, that they can look up and ask for help from the Father of lights, instead of believing the lies of the enemy about who they are. God says that we are not our mistakes. God says that we are not the labels that people put upon us. God says that we are the apple of his eye. God said he loves us above everything. He gave his Son to die for us. None of us would give our sons to die for any one of us, but he did. He said, no greater love than a man will have that he would lay down his life for his neighbor. But we don't do that. But he did. He is the example of unselfish love to us, his children, whom he created. So no matter what it is that we've done, no matter where it is in our lives, God loves us. He loves us with an everlasting love. He loves us because he is love. So now as they are now free. We're going to go back to the story from Egypt. Rule, they become bored walking through the desert. Now, God set them up in a camp near water. I mean, they didn't even have to worry about where and what they were going to eat and how they were going to go catch what they were going to eat, because God provided them manna, food from the sky, literally falling from the sky to them. Quails falling from the sky to them. Yes, could you imagine that? Now, guys, mind you, God has provided food and water and shelter for them, but also for the animals. And what do you think they started to do? They started complaining because they were bored. They started groaning, all right, because they were wandering in the desert for days. They were unhappy. They started to be ungrateful. Ungrateful, yes. We are ungrateful from time to time. I know I am. I am ungrateful from time to time, and I have to remind myself that God provides everything. It says God provides provisions for us. Psalm 103 says, "Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not his benefits." So God loads us up with benefits daily. He heals all of our diseases. Hallelujah. He forgives all of our sins because he loves us. He's a good God. He's a good father. So God does what any good father would do. And he takes the Hebrew children, the people, and he puts them in a little time out for being disobedient. You know how you get mad at your children and you say, "You go stand over there now. All right? Because you're going to go in time out. Because enough is enough with you." But just like us, just like the children, they continued to be disobedient. And they became a very stiff-necked and rebellious people. And they started making idols and idolizing different gods, worshiping them. You know, how insulting could that have been to our Father? He brought them out of Egypt. He provided food for them. He provided water for them. He provided everything for them. You know how God provides all the good things for us and we still live in disobedience. Thank God that he's married to the backsliders, it says. Because there are plenty of times that I was a backslider. But I thank God that he, as I continue to read his word, as I continue to pray, and I try my best to draw closer to him, because if I draw closer to him in his word and reading, he draws closer to me. I pray, Lord God, that you would hold me close in your bosom, that I can hear your words as you speak them to me. For there, every morning that I get up, I say, "Lord, your servant is listening. Speak to me." Because you want to know what the will of God is for your life. You want him to speak into your life so you can know the plans that he has for you. Because it says in Jeremiah 29:11, he knows the plans that he has for us, the plans to prosper us, the plans to do us good and to bring us to a pleasant end. This is what our Father has for us. So I thank him for his promises. Amen. I thank him. I thank him. I thank him. And how many of us have inherited now from our parents' rebelliousness, disobedience, nastiness? How many of us have inherited low self-esteem, brokenness, anxiety, shame, worthlessness, anger? I inherited hatred for men. And how many of us inherited poverty and drug use and alcoholism? You know, having children with different men and looking for love in all the wrong places. That's what I had inherited. from my parents and my grandparents and their grandparents and their parents and their great-grandparents. Yes, this is the generational inheritance of brokenness. But thank God that I serve a God who loves me above all. And he said, the buck stops here. As God decided to take my messiness and show me his wonderful and glorious and unfailing and redeeming love. And when he said the buck stops here, that's what he gave me. He traded all my emptiness and all my brokenness for his love and his wonderful, unfailing, redeeming love to my life. And then through me, he has changed the course, not only of my life, but the life of my children, as I give to them the inheritance of Jesus Christ, as I dedicate them back to the Lord, our God, for bringing us through, bringing me through, and giving him honor and glory by doing this. Because God has a purpose for our life. And this change, this broken chain of generational sin, this broken chain of strongholds, this broken chain of soul ties, is because Jesus changed my life. And because he changed my life, I get to change my children's life. And my children get to change their children's life from generation to generation. Now, the course of the inheritance is love. It is joy. It is Jesus. It is light. It is hope. Hallelujah. Because it says in his word that the righteous cry out and he inclines his ear to us. That means that he answers us in the time of trouble. So I've changed my direction. I repented. And that's what repenting means. It means changing your direction, changing your mind. So as I repented and gave my life to the Lord, he changed the prospect of where I was heading, not only just for me, but for my children and my children's children. Our God is a good God. He's a good father. And he wants desperately to have a relationship with us because he loves us. Simple. Simple. God is love and he created us out of pure love, nothing more. So let us talk about the terrible things that we have inherited from our families and give them to God in exchange for the inheritance, love, peace, joy, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Hallelujah. Because these things are the inheritance and the attributes of the fruit of the Spirit, which is the Holy Spirit. And if you look in Galatians 5th chapter, the 22nd verse, you'll find the wonderful attributes of the Holy Spirit. And being adopted into his family of righteousness to receive a good life and blessings upon blessings, it is said that he is a rewarder of those who obey him and who diligently seek him. Friends, we got this God all mixed up. If we think that he goes around condemning us, if we think he goes around pointing his finger, if we think that he goes around not giving us things because we done wrong, no. The wrong that we do separates us from him, but he never stops loving us. He never stops loving us. He loves us unfailingly. He loves us unconditionally. We as humans love with conditions. Tomorrow I'll get up and decide I don't love you. And guess what? We go get a divorce. Tomorrow I decided I get up and then I leave because I don't love you. Tomorrow I'll decide I get up and I don't love you. And I decide you gotta go. But God loves us unconditionally. There is no conditions to it. I don't have to pay you to love me. I don't have to buy you things to love me. God says, I love you because I am love, and I created you out of love. How wonderful is that? Because if we don't have God, we don't really know what love is. We don't. So friends, we got this God all mixed up. He is merciful and loving. God wants nothing but the best for us. And if we want to accept him into our lives, in the Bible, in the book of Romans, chapter 10, 9 and 10, it says that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. It is just that simple. Confess and believe. And John 3:16, everybody knows what John 3:16 says. For God loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And since God is a man that he can't lie, his words are true. So I invite you to receive Jesus into your hearts and become saved and be the child of the Most High God and be reconciled back into his family. We're going into a new year, 2022. Let us go into the new year with a charge and a light in our lives so our lives can be better. I'm believing God for the exceeding and the abundant above all that I ask and that I pray for, because God is the God of the exceedingly and the abundantly. It says in his word that he gives us according to his riches and glory, and we don't know what his riches and glories are. There's no limit to his riches and glory. It says in his word that he would pour down a blessing so much on us that we would not have room for it, that we would live in the overflow. How many of us are tired of living underneath the table when God has already put a plate setting for us to sit at the table of God, to sit as a child of the Most High, to receive the love and the blessings of a father who loves us unconditional. I don't know about anybody else, but I am charged because I know that he can do it. How many of us ever heard the term, can he do it? Yes, he will. Won't he do it? Yes, he will. Because he will. Because he does. And I am living proof that this God that I serve is mighty. This God that I serve is loving. This God that I serve is great, because he changed my life. I used to be homeless, and God has given me my own home. At one time, I was on public transportation, and God has given me a car. Not just any car, a new car with all the bells and the whistles to it. God has given me a great house to live in. God has given me a job that I've been on for 23 years at my job. Remember, a homeless addict, pregnant, full of anger, full of malice. God changed all that around and given me a life that I can be proud of, that my children can be proud of, that my children's children will be proud of, because I leave them the inheritance of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. I thank you, God, for all that you're going to do. I thank you for each and every person under the sound of my voice that hears these words, that if you believe If you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that you raised your son from the dead, Jesus Christ, then we too shall be saved. I thank you for your promise of salvation. And I thank you for everyone who confessed with their mouth and believed in their heart. I thank you for the call of salvation. I thank you, God, for what you're going to do. I thank you, Lord, and I ask you to release your blessings. I ask you to release your love. Lord, we're getting closer and closer to healing. And that's what you want for us, so we can be made whole for your honor and your glory. So we can also be the light who someone who's in the dark like we were. And I thank you, God. I thank you. It is in Jesus' mighty name that I say amen, amen, and amen. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I thank you for another great episode of Ripples and Healing. I am so elated about where this podcast is going. So I ask you to please continue to listen and to like and to share with all your friends and your family members. And my prayer, as it is always, is that God use us for his honor and his glory, that we will be made whole through a healing journey. And it is in Jesus' name I thank you for listening. Until next time, God bless, God be the glory, and 2022 is going to be greater, it's going to be better, it's going to be awesome, because we are expecting great things from a God who is bigger and greater than we could expect him to be. God bless you. Have a wonderful day.